Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian.
Hey, I'm here, guys.
We're doing it. We're doing it, folks. We got 1 week left. And then the rubber meets the road. Election day, 1 week away.
Have you made your plan for election? You can go in and vote right now.
You can
also vote on election day 1 week from today.
Local municipalities around the state of Wisconsin are offering in-person early absentee voting. You can participate. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Welcome to the big show. Big guy, how you doing today?
I'm all right. I had not planned on being here, actually.
I know. You were planning on being away, hidden, and doing the all-important work in the shadows.
Bunker. creating tomorrow so that today can finish. And I'd like to say that I wasn't making a joke about that, but that's literally what I'm doing. I'm creating tomorrow so that we can finish today.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I'm just resurrecting, or not resurrecting, just...
I'm creating tomorrow's logs. Yeah,
creating just all of the systems for us to be able to do this gorgeous thing that we're doing here at Civic Media. Welcome to the show, folks. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across the state of Wisconsin, thanks to Civic Media, on stations here in Madison, like Devil Radio 92.7, in Waukesha on the Shaw, in Richland Center on Radio from the Center, in Wisconsin Rapids on locally grown radio, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and in Amory, Wisconsin on Lake Air.
That's a lot of stuff.
And
we're not done yet.
We're not done yet, folks. So go to civicmedia.us. to learn more about what we're doing here across the state of Wisconsin. Yep. You can sign up to be some of the first individuals to learn about where the next stations may be popping up around this great state.
Yeah. So, like I said, I wasn't planning on being here today, but the impetus for coming in, you may have heard some of the earlier shows today. Kristen was talking about it. Earl was talking about it. We got our window smashed in. We like many of our stations, we have a fishbowl in front where you can see us live on the air. You know, it's locally grown radio, local radio. We're right in front. We're right there, and we don't hide from anyone about anything. We will talk about any subject at any time about whatever, because that's what we do. We want to have conversations, and that's the whole point about conversations. Now, of course, you know, that happens. We're the only business targeted in this building. So, you know, naturally we think, oh my goodness, we're being targeted for political reasons. It's a week from the election. You know, there's circumstantial things like that.
It's hard not to have your mind go right there immediately, Brian, because the station in Waukesha, not necessarily everybody in Waukesha is our biggest fans.
Yeah, I drive by an FJ Biden flag every day. What a winner that person is. But my point is, you know, we've also had we had like a 75-year-old guy. I'm guessing 75. He had to get walked to his car. There's a business here that he was visiting, and on the way in, he left us a picture of a MAGA hat on our mailbox with tape. He went through the process of printing a picture of a MAGA hat.
Just so that he could, you know,
tape it
to the mailbox.
He had forethought to tape it to our mailbox. I mean, this guy had to be walked to his car. I'm sure he's not really keen on printers in general. So the guy actually learned how to use a printer, get it printed, just to go and put it on there. So again, and then Kristen had a guy outside yesterday, you know, waving at her and stuff. And so circumstantially, we were like, oh my gosh, we got targeted. So of course, you know, look, man, I slept 8 hours and plus last night, and I've now just gotten to the point of exhaustion, just to give you an idea of where I'm at and why I was going to take the day off.
Yeah.
But you come after my people, I'm a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot for me to go.
It does. But
you come after my people and I get all fired up. Well, somewhere between me coming, getting ready and, you know, coming down to march to give the whole world an earful on the air, and find out that this person also targeted like five other places randomly and is also in county jail. So awesome. We found the person. The police did their job. Everybody, nobody was hurt. And we all move on from here.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting to see. Well, yeah, once you're not, you realize you're not targeted, this is some random thing. Everybody turned to sympathy for the guy. I hope he's okay. I hope he gets the treatment he needs.
Right.
I hope, you hope that, you know, things, because the guy clearly wasn't well, and, you know, the officers intimated that he might not be, or didn't seem to be in a good place.
Or, yeah, he was in a very bad place when he decided to do something like vandalize four, five, six businesses in Waukesha.
Now, somewhere in between, before I found this out, and me driving down here, I kind of calmed down and started thinking about it. You know, and, you know, thinking, like, what would the right's response be? Oh, that serves you right. You know, the riots in Kenosha, and man, with the windows smashed, how does it feel? That type of stuff. And then I was like, what? Let's say this was a targeted thing or not. It doesn't matter. What gets to a point where you got to go and throw something through a window? You know, the most recent things we saw were the, you know, riots when, you know, stuff, some really bad stuff got escalated to the point of throwing stuff through windows. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, no one was killed there. The people that shot someone were, let's move on from that. That's not my point.
The excessive force.
Yes.
That was being protested was a bigger deal than any property damage. That's always, my point is,
it's either circumstantial or it's, I hate things so much, I'm just going to go and destroy things. Circumstance in your life, circumstance and things. And I know because, fun fact about Brian, the only time I've ever been arrested, doing similar stuff. I didn't break windows, but I did knock side view mirrors off of cars. If you look down my street, every street sign was tilted at an angle. It looked like a hurricane went down there. I didn't break any windows. I messed up some antennas and stuff. Paid everybody in cash for everything. I actually knew the judge. He was a regular at the bar. But he got me to pay cash. But at the time, I was in a really bad place. You know, I was mad at the world for being the world. You know, I'm in my mid-20s and realizing that stuff sucks. I mean, again,
that's so eloquently.
Let's not pretend like I was some, you know, magical, you know, depth person. I was a different person then, you know, but I was very angry and very, you know, and I was blacked out at the time, drunk. So, you know, put those together and you get giant cool hand Luke, you know, running down the street.
But hey man, why are you bringing me into it?
Yeah, it was a scene in the movie.
You
have to put yourself in the mindset as to why someone would do that. And that's what I started doing before I found out this was like a random thing. I started doing like, well, what if we were targeted by someone on the right? Who gets to the point where they really think that's something they need to do? And even if it's random targeting, how do you get to a point in your life where that's the question we need to always be asking about these things, not let's punish him, let's go out and get them. Because obviously your first instinct is people, they came for my people, I'm going to protect them. You know, that's what gets you fired up and everything. But if you really want to solve this, you really want to fix things, you really want to go and make this a better place or make this so that we're not worried about this stuff, you can't have speeches where you're saying things like pitchforks and torches time. You need speeches like, hey, these are other people. They disagree with us, but we should probably figure out a way to work with them because they're other people too.
Wait, Brian, are you saying that possibly the political rhetoric that is being dispersed by some certain individuals, maybe in the Republican Party, that could potentially be, you know, leading to some of these other... No, I'm not saying today. I'm not saying today.
That's not what happened. There's a concern out there, of course, but again... Think about who you're choosing. Are you choosing the people who are demonizing the other folks, telling you that they're going to ruin the whole world and we're evil people letting people out on parole so they can go and commit more crimes on purpose? Like, do you really believe that? That type of stuff, you know? And then, and am I being soft on crime by saying that person probably needed more of a help than he needed, you know, to be punished or thrown in jail?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's definitely there are different ways to react to the circumstances that we are experiencing, specifically in the Waukesha studios today, but just in general as well. Mm-hmm. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Brian sharing the news with some windows shattered in the Waukesha studios earlier, either late last night or early this morning.
It was last night around 10 o'clock or so.
Late last night. So It's definitely an interesting time right now, and we're gonna.
It wasn't me. I was asleep. So
yeah, can Amy vouch for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can too.
Okay, that's true. I don't know if
we were texting probably. Right at that time.
Yeah, you were just going to bed around that time. Mm-hmm. But folks, if you want to join the show, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. We're going to be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area because, again, it's Tuesday. So Dan's stopping by, sharing his thoughts, any recent columns. He's got a very excellent one put out ahead of the weekend, Bird on the Wire, about one of the really important races down at the assembly level because only so many competitive districts here in the state of Wisconsin. After Republicans got their way during the redistricting process, we'll touch base on that. And we've got some comments coming out of the Republican candidates at the top of the ticket that I think are important to discuss, Brian, because the rhetoric that we're referencing, the individuals that maybe aren't using cooler heads to prevail, they're using the words that they can share with their supporters, with radio talk show hosts.
And again, it's not. I do need to point out, it's not just, you know, right-wing talk show hosts, and it's not just, you know, the Republican candidates for governor. You got people like Kanye West, and you got, you know, Kyrie Irving sharing a bunch of anti-Semitic...
Very hateful.
Very hateful stuff, and just saying, yeah, that's cool. You know...
Acting like it's commonplace,
It's not just... It's not just politics. It's there are people.
No, but we've got an election in 7 days, and I think it is important to focus on some of these talking points that are coming out of certain candidates on the ballot this November 8th. 1 week from today, folks, it is November. Get ready. We've got 7 days. It's going to be a long 7 days between now and Election Day here in the state of Wisconsin. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. You want to join the show, 844-967-2789. We're going to be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. And, man, it's already November, Brian. It is insane to think.
It's Rovember.
It is. Start of Rovember.
Welcome to Rovember, folks.
Yeah.
There. I have a feeling that we're going to be, I think we're going to be surprised. That's just me.
You got to stay tuned to find out whether or not you're going to be surprised.
Well, yeah, that's why. We're going to have election night coverage. We're going to have all this stuff. You're going to be here the whole time. Civic Media's got the whole party.
Yeah,
who brought you Obama? That's us.
We did it. We'll be right back. This is Dueling Tangents. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He over there, that's Brian. You're listening to us across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media and find your local station, go to civicmedia.us. You can see all the stations, all the fine programs that we put out across those stations. You can see an excellent coverage map and see where all the stations are popping up around the state. Now we are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, a independent journalist out of the Milwaukee area. Dan, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing well, fellas. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking time out of your Tuesday afternoon to come and maybe have a tangent or two with us. And so we found out pretty early today that there was some audio making its way around of a campaign stop that the top of the ticket for the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin, Republican Tim Michaels running for governor. There was some commentary that he made yesterday that was pretty just, he's one for ambiguity. Usually he's very leaves things open for interpretation, but yesterday he made comments at a campaign stop in Jefferson County and they're pretty direct, and we've got this sound. So we're going to share it with the people. If we could cue that up, Evan, this is what Tim Michaels had to say yesterday in Watertown.
Republicans will never lose another election in Wisconsin after I'm elected governor.
So those are some pretty direct words. He's not mincing them. He's not leaving it up to, oh, we'll see. I'll surround myself with good people. I'll figure it out. He's coming out and saying, if he's elected governor, Republicans will never lose another election in the state of Wisconsin.
How does this relate to our discussions of the uses of the word fascism?
That's an excellent question, Brian.
It's right there. I mean, it's all happening right out in the open. He's saying it right out in the open. You know, we hear so much of the cliche that democracy is on the ballot in Wisconsin. I think it's pretty true now, because I think Tim Michaels just gave away the game. The goal is not election integrity. The goal is not shoring up, you know, anything, any problems that they see might be prevalent in the state when it comes to election administration. The goal is, all as always with this group of Wisconsin Republicans, consolidation of power at all costs, and even to the point where they are openly saying that Democrats are not going to be able to win elections in Wisconsin if they have their way, if Tim Michaels is elected.
And see,
it's a frightening thought.
It is extremely frightening of a thought, but I was told from campaign ads, Dan, that Tim Michaels was a political outsider. How did he become one of the bunch here so quickly with his campaign for governor?
Well, of course, he's never actually been a political outsider. You know, ran for office many times before. So I think it's just that, you know, he's part of the larger Republican ecosystem that has treated the 2020 election as illegitimate, based on all of the lies that they've been telling about the 2020 election, to fueling that fire of making it seem illegitimate, and so often attacking the votes of Democratic strongholds in Milwaukee and Madison. We heard Robin Voss 2 years ago say that if we got Milwaukee and Madison out of the equation, Republicans would have a clear majority. Well, that seems like less of offhand remark about how the makeup of the population of the state of Wisconsin, and more of a goal. And it really seems like that's where things are headed with Republicans in Wisconsin, that if they are able to prevail in these fall elections, whether it's through, you know, Tim Michaels winning the governor's race or through Republicans gaining a supermajority in the state legislature, they are going to try to make it so that Democrats cannot win elections in Wisconsin. And at which point, what kind of state are we? You know, what kind of state can we really characterize ourselves as being? Can you really say the state's a democracy if you have somebody saying that one party is not allowed to govern, not allowed to win elections? It's ridiculously insulting.
Yeah, it is absolutely insulting. And
I think fascism is the word. Just throwing it out there again, because that's directly it.
When you have one political party that's saying, yes, we will prevent any other political party from ever winning ever again, is it going to take him being elected for people to start calling out it as fascism, Dan, do you believe? Or what do we have to get to for this to be covered with what I believe the urgency it deserves?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a five-alarm fire for democracy in Wisconsin, these comments right here. Michaels has been so intentionally vague on everything that when he speaks with any kind of specificity, I think we have to take it a little bit more seriously. And I think saying something like this, saying the direct quote of Republicans will never lose another election in Wisconsin after I'm elected governor, is frightening. It is fascism. It is dangerous. And I think I think people have to start taking it seriously. And I think one thing that, you know, the pundits in this election have been saying, it's not about democracy. It's about the economy. It's about crime. It's about abortion. It's about whatever issue. But I think, how are we going to be able to address any of these problems if we don't have a functioning democracy? How are we going to address anything that's happening with the economy and inflation if we don't have a democracy to do this through, to actually address the problems that people are facing and have that representative democracy? How are we going to do that if we don't have the, I mean, this is fundamental. Yeah. So I think this is just so problematic on so many levels.
Well, who cares whether you have clean water to drink when you know that the party won again, right? I mean, you can take that to the bank, right? The Republicans won again, and then you know that you're good and safe, because even if your water isn't good to drink, it's cool because the party won, right? What's the color of that? It's the red color they use a lot, right? Is that it? So the thing that they... I don't know. It's just amazing how blatantly out in the freaking open it is.
It's happening right before our eyes, folks.
And they're like, yay!
This is Dueling Tangents. We are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. We're going to get into a little bit more about the Michael's comments and other Wisconsin headlines as well as an excellent piece written up that I got to read, Bird on the Wire. So we're going to get into that piece a little bit too from the Recombobulation Area. 844-967-2789. If you want to join the conversation, you can call or text. This is Dueling Tangents, and we'll be right back.
Star Wars was right. Democracy dies with applause.
Michael didn't come over to my house. He's a bad child.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird. The bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That over there is Luke. Almost said it the opposite way, and we are joined.
We try not to do that sometimes. Most of the time.
We're joined once again by our buddy Jan Dafer. His name is Dan Schaefer. And he is from the Recombobulation Area, which
Brian
I need to
needs
go
a little
right
assistance,
now.
Dan.
I had thought that I had gotten some sleep and was able to use my mouth again, but apparently not so good. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation
Area. I'm
disembodied. Welcome
That's
back.
That's why we're here.
Exactly.
That is why we have That's gathered you here. All here today. Thank you for joining us. If you want to join the conversation, call or text 844-967-2789. But we play that song because we're going to get to a very interesting campaign and race that I think is below a lot of people's radar. It's not necessarily the flashiest campaign. But before we get to that, I want to finish up with some of the comments that were made in Jefferson County yesterday. So we touched on the Tim Michaels comments that if he's elected governor, Republicans will never lose the state of Wisconsin again. But also in Jefferson County yesterday, we had Ron Johnson doing a tour with I believe they're together. I'm not quite sure. They may have been traversing the state not together, but Ron Johnson had some pretty interesting comments to share yesterday as well. So we're going to play those for the people now, Evan, if you would be so kind.
That is who's running against me. That's who, unfortunately, because so many of our fellow Wisconsinites listen to a lot of the mainstream news media, they don't get the truth.
But people aren't getting the truth.
Too many Wisconsinites are going to potentially vote for him. We got to make sure that the folks we talk to don't. Okay? These people are fundamentally destroying this country. They have to be stopped. They have to be defeated. They need a real shellacking.
Does he know that he's the incumbent? Does he know that he's the incumbent that's been there for 12 years?
Well, Brian,
does he know that this state has been controlled by Republicans for at least the last decade or more? Does he know that they are already in power, so any problems that you have existing for the last freaking decade has been at their feet? Or is he just not aware of that?
Well, he's the unity candidate, Brian. He's bringing people together. That is what Ron Johnson is running on for his third term that he swore he would never run for. And so that's what Ron Johnson had to say. Dan, your thoughts on the senator's comments saying that people are funded, the people on the left, individuals, like maybe he would be referring to this fine program of Brian and I talking to our listening audience from 2 to 3.
They did respond. They did respond in real time to a tweet with a tweet during the exact time that we made a comment about one of Ron Johnson's policies, or like lack thereof, in that Tammy Baldwin has passed more stuff during his tenure than he has. And they immediately, within that second, we timed it, actually tweeted out. So they listen to us and they think we're mainstream.
I think that's pretty honorable. But what are your thoughts on the senator's comments yesterday that the left is fundamentally destroying the country, Dan?
I think it's part of he's running is a very strange campaign that is just riddled with contradictions. He's running this campaign about, you know, he's campaigning as a truth teller, and he has a website called WisFacts, and he's been proven over and over again to be one of the biggest liars and conspiracy theorists in Wisconsin. He's campaigning against divisiveness, but talks about how the left needs to be pushed out of every institution at any given opportunity. And you know, in these comments that he had yesterday, it's just, much like what he's done before. And he's talking about, you know, he's campaigned before on wanting to solve problems. Well, he also said he's barely gotten anything done in his 12 years in Congress. It's just a constant campaign of contradictions. And, you know, I think there was a Cap Time story. Jesse O'Poyan wrote a really good Cap Time story a couple weeks ago about, called The Political Paradox of Ron Johnson. And it just strikes me at how contradictory every step of this campaign is. You know, he's always talking about defunding the police. He voted against funding for law enforcement. You know, he's talking about how his main issue has been kind of a deficit hawk. The tax bill, the Trump tax bill that he voted into, blew a $2 trillion hole in the deficit. He's just constant contradictions with Wisconsin's senior senator.
He was asked to say one nice thing about his challenger, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And even during that period, 30-second period, I believe he had, to say something admirable about his opponent, he said that he had a good upbringing, but he's confused at why he has turned his back or hates, I forget the exact language. I'm not
gonna
put words.
Why do you hate America so much?
Yeah, boiled it down to, well, the lieutenant governor hates America. I don't understand why. And so he's running on a unity platform, and those are the examples of how he's demonstrating that unity platform. But if you want to look for unity in the 2022 midterms, I think that there's a different place to look than Senator Johnson's reelection campaign. And you very well laid out that campaign with a piece at the Recombobulation Area titled Burn on the Wire. And I thought it was excellent, Dan, so I want you to share it with the folks. It is an excellent read if you haven't already got a chance yet. But you're looking into the campaign of the 84th Assembly District, Lou Anne Bird, running for that race. Can you tell us a little bit more about it, Dan?
Yeah, so we've talked in the past on this show about the chance for Republicans to gain a supermajority, a two-thirds supermajority in this 50-50 state. And so when I went through and previewed all 116 races in the state legislature, you know, only a few really jumped out as the ones that are particularly competitive. And, you know, this one grabbed my attention for a number of reasons, perhaps initially chief among them being the fact that former Milwaukee mayoral candidate Bob Donovan was the Republican running in this race, not in the city of Milwaukee. And
that's so funny
I
how
you
he
know, that's interesting. Bob Donovan's running. He's a big name. This is going to be a competitive seat. This is going to be a wild, wild race. And the more I, you know, the more I started, had been reporting on, you know, assembly races and around the region, I kept hearing about, not about the Bob Donovan factor in this race, but about Lou Anne Bird and about how Lou Anne Bird was flipping Trump voters from the front porch when she was knocking on doors canvassing, and how she had become kind of this instant legend among assembly Democrats for her work canvassing. And I also heard about her campaign through the Bird Songs concert events that were being organized in her district and around the Milwaukee area. Chris Porterfield, who is the lead singer and songwriter for the Milwaukee folk band Field Report, had recently moved to this district and had gotten involved in this race. And he organized a number of these backyard concerts, and kind of the culmination of it came a couple weeks ago at the Cooperage in downtown Milwaukee, where, you know, more than a dozen Milwaukee musicians kind of lent their talents to a benefit concert for Lou Anne Bird's campaign. And so, you know, Chris Porterfield using his talents as a musician to get people involved with this race. But the more I got a chance to talk to Chris after the concert, and I interviewed Lou Anne after the concert, got to know her a little bit. And I think this is just a really special and different and remarkable and unconventional campaign that she's running, because we have this election in Wisconsin that has been relentlessly negative. I mean, the worst of it, of course, has been the racist attack ads leveled at Mandela Barnes. But I think, you know, you'll go to commercial break during a Packer game and get negative ads from both sides the entire break.
Yeah,
right?
we were joined yesterday by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and they have a new report that the state of Wisconsin broke its previous record already with a week to go, broke previous records set in 2018 of outside spending in the race here across the state of Wisconsin. And so, yeah, those ads have been extremely negative. And it seems like this is not the tactic that Luann's taking in her assembly race.
No, it's not. And she's not running a negative campaign. She has somebody who she could, you know, really relentlessly attack in Bob Donovan, who has a 20-year, you know, history of being in the Milwaukee Common Council and a whole bunch of different scandals of his that she could be attacking about. But when she goes, I got the chance to shadow her on doors for a morning, and she would not really ever bring up Bob Donovan. She would go to the door, she would talk to people, ask them what they care about, what's one issue you want to change, all these different things. Maybe at the end she'd slip it in, okay, I'm running against Bob Donovan, he's my opponent, whatever. But she's really not talking about Bob Donovan because it's really not the focus of her campaign. Her campaign is about, you know, her campaign slogan is choose civility. She's talking about hope. She's talking about wanting to change a broken system. And if there's ever been a system that's broken, it's the Wisconsin State Legislature right now. So I think, you know, she has a lot of stories in her history working on school boards in Oshkosh and in her current community at the Whitnall School Board. You know, one of her main driving forces has been the fact that her husband was in a pretty devastating construction accident 32 years ago that severed his spinal cord, making him paralyzed. And she has since worked tirelessly to make places accessible. You know, that happened the same summer as the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed. And so she was working at school boards and, you know, kept running into these bureaucratic roadblocks, but then overcame that and ran for office and made the changes that she was seeking. So I think it's just, you know, a very change focused, very positive, very hopeful campaign that is kind of this light in the darkness in Wisconsin when it comes to just about every other race that's happening.
And do you believe that unconventionality of it, do you think that that's something that if successful next week, we've got 1 week left in before these midterm elections, folks. So if you haven't already made a plan to vote, go to myvote.wi.gov. You can check out your sample ballot. You can see who's on your ballot and you can find polling places to vote early, in-person absentee voting, or make a plan to vote on election day. But I think that there needs to be some changes to, because this isn't a sustainable model. The drawn out, because people run for governor, for Senate, for all of these races are very long. Tom Nelson, the first candidate in for U.S. Senate, launched his campaign before the 2020 election day even. Like, we have been running nonstop for this cycle for the U.S. Senate race in the state of Wisconsin for more than 2 years. And so, and as you point out, they are overwhelmingly negative campaigns. I've talked to campaign insiders that say, well, we can't go positive. We have to stay negative because if we stop going negative, our numbers change. And I'm like, that's insane. Well, what numbers are you looking at? Because to me, it seems if this is an unconventional way to run a campaign, but it's successful, it's something that needs to be replicated over and over and over again, because the sustainability of our current system isn't working.
I think part of it too is just an authenticity. Like, the part of why I think she's finding success in this race is they're letting her be who she is. And I think that's part of the problem that I think we're seeing in a lot of campaigns in Wisconsin. You have these too safe messaging, this overmanaged press strategy, and the endless kind of consultant speak that you hear from Democratic campaigns in particular. Just let people be who they are. Like, let people run as the person that they are, just as passionate people who want to make their state a better place. Like, you don't have to overthink it sometimes. And I think that's where Democratic campaigns in particular tend to struggle, because they don't let always, you know, there's not always the authenticity factor that I think we might like to see from some of these campaigns.
Well, you got to get the talking point in. You got to get the points in. You got to get the bullet points in. No matter what the question is, you got to get to those points, or else, oh my goodness, we're all not going to get the bullet points out there. And what will happen then? We might even find that the person has an opinion about something else other than opinions. I don't know. It's crazy.
But that, Brian, is replicating the Republican way to run campaigns. And I don't think that that's necessarily
All that negative stuff does is serve to get the regular person who normally would just care to not care, and that's the point.
And it incentivizes robots that can spit out those that constituent speak, the talking points, to run for office. And we see those in both parties. I won't lie about that, but definitely some much great report. I can't say words, folks. You're listening to Dueling.
You write good, man.
It was an excellent piece written up by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. We got one segment left in the day. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. We're joined by Dan Schaefer, who did not bring his lighter, but he's going, waving his hands back and forth to the music. And a subtle little theme that we decided to do. We did a bird-related song every segment for today's show, so you can go back and listen. But we had a bird theme in there for the excellent piece written up by Dan Schaefer at the Recombobulation Area. Dan, could you share quickly with the people, before we get back to the conversation, where can they go read the piece and learn more about the work that you're putting out there at the Recombobulation Area?
Yeah, I published on Substack. The story is called Bird on a Wire. I approached it like it would be kind of a magazine cover story length piece. So I think that, you know, you might read some of my stuff and see the regular, you know, opinion columns and things like that. But this one's a little bit different. This one's a little bit longer, a little bit more in depth, a little bit more of a feature story. So that's where you can find that one.
Perfect. And I thought it gave excellent perspective from several different aspects of the story. So you get excellent storytelling from many different viewpoints of the 84th Assembly race. And so I really appreciate you writing up that piece. I think it's, as you've pointed out, one of the critical races to keep an eye on between now and Election Day and on Election Day, because it could determine the makeup of the Wisconsin legislature, which is going to look very different come next January, because a third of the legislature, roughly, is leaving through either retirements, going over to from Assembly to Senate, or going in and seeking elected office at other levels, say, like in the city of Milwaukee, Kenosha, county executive. So there's been a lot of people leaving the legislature, and it's going to look very different come January. And one of the things, go ahead, Brett.
I was going to say, if we're lucky, Lou Anne Bird will be part of that. And I'd be remiss if I did not mention that once you have read the piece by Dan Schaefer about Bird on a Wire on Substack, and informed yourself about the 84th race, you can go to Civic Media and listen to interviews with Lou Anne Bird. She is infectious. You should listen to her in person. It is fantastic, because you're like, that's what I want, no matter who you are. It's pretty cool, because I think even if you're not in that district, you should go and check it out to kind of say, man, I want that. It's like when you go into someone's office building and they have like a awesome pool table there and like a bunch of rec equipment, and you're like, you can do that? Yeah, we have nap rooms too. I'm like, geez, I want to work here. Luann Bird is like a nap room in your office.
There you
go. You're going to want one.
And you can search. She appeared on both Up North News with Pat Kreitlow and As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So you can go to civicmedia.us, check out those shows, and you'll be able to find the interviews that Luann Bird has had with those respective shows. But one of the places where Civic Media has been doing some coverage and the Recombobulation Area was also covering was the Obama rally this past Saturday. And there's one individual that's really ramped up voter turnout in the city of Milwaukee over the last several years, since 2008, when he was first on the ballot for president. And that would be former President Barack Obama. And so a lot of people, specifically in the right-wing echo chambers, said that this isn't a big idea. This isn't a big deal. This isn't the silver bullet some Democrats think it's going to be. But Dan, it's still a pretty big deal, and he had a lot of moving things to say on Saturday when he was at the rally. Can you share kind of your takeaways from being at the event and what you thought of Obama's speech on Saturday at North Division High School?
Yeah, I thought it was a remarkable speech, and both the fact that he is in Milwaukee making it, and just the substance of the speech as well. Before we get into that, I should mention that, you know, one of the facts that I always come back to about Obama in Milwaukee when it comes to electoral politics is that he had, you know, of course, the great, huge landslide margins in 2008 across the country. He actually did better in 2012 than he did in 2008 in the city of Milwaukee, both in turnout and in margin. So you can really see the type of impact, you know, that he and his presidency have had on voters in the city of Milwaukee. In the past decade since, it's been a struggle for the city of Milwaukee to reach those turnout numbers without him on the ballot. So I think that is a really important fact to consider when you're thinking about his impact on turnout.
Also worth noting real quick, I just want to say that some of our trolliest trolls here are former Obama voters that are also super Trump guys. The guy moved a lot of people.
He did. He did. And I think, you know, I think the substance of the speech really, you know, spoke to, man, he's just the most effective communicator that the Democrats have and have had in a long time. And, you know, I think it was kind of a callback in a lot of ways to, you know, just the initial run that he had, which is getting back to the system is broken and we need to fix it. And, you know, I think in so many ways he delivered the closing message that Democrats need right now. You know, he didn't shy away from talking about inflation. He didn't shy away from talking about all these different issues that have been divisive. But I think he kept going back to the thing where he was saying the fundamental question that you need to ask is who will be fighting for you? Is people like Ron Johnson, who have gotten tax breaks for people with private planes, are they fighting for you? Or is it, you know, Democrats like Mandela Barnes, who have a working class upbringing and who want to bring a working class platform to the Senate? And I think Barack Obama standing up there on stage at North Division High School with Mandela Barnes saying this is a good and decent man and he's going to bring real hope and change to the Senate, I think that matters. I think it does. I think people are really optimistic coming out of that rally about what it could do for turnout in Milwaukee. You know, we've got early voting cranking right now, and you know, it's going to be an important stretch this next week here to get people to the polls. But I think, you know, if Mandela Barnes is able to pull off the upset in this race, that rally will be something people look back to as a reason why.
Yeah, it's definitely it was an excellent speech. If you haven't listened to it, Civic Media did special event coverage for the entire event. So there's several different speeches from Tony Evers, Mandela Barnes, and former President Barack Obama. You can go to civicmedia.us. You can find all of our special event coverage podcasted there for you to take a listen to now. Because if you haven't, like Dan said, it is an excellent closing argument ahead of next week, Tuesday's midterm election. If you haven't made a plan to vote, make one today. You can early vote in person. Absentee voting is underway. For some municipalities, it goes until Friday. For others, it goes all the way till Saturday. But you can absolutely still register and vote all the way up to Election Day. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. See, we're talking about all this political coverage. We didn't even get to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks being undefeated still.
6-0.
Let's keep it going. Really appreciate you stopping by this afternoon, Dan. This has been Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast at civicmedia.us. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.